And what says I love you and your podcast more than a saline pod?
A box of tampons.
Oh, wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
Snow is falling. Turkey is roasting.
Silver bells are ringing.
Allegedly, there are silver bells ringing. And it's during this beautiful seasonal time, Sammy, that I think to myself, what type of fiscal, personal finance things do I need to wrap up before the end of the new year?
It's true, Michelle. I'm always thinking these kind of thoughts, but the end of the year brings some particular questions that need to be answered.
It's like jingle bells, and also, have I gotten my latest physical for the year?
Jingle bells, Batman smells, do I, and why? Let me book a physical.
Sammy and I know that this is probably top of mind for you as well. And if it's not, it should be, because there are certain things that you need to wrap up before the end of the new year. Things like taking a look at your tax advantage account, thinking about your healthcare, all these fun, sexy holiday tasks.
Things that, if you do them now, could drastically change your future wealth. All because you decided to make sure that you get certain things done in December.
And we're going to go into that checklist this episode because we want to help you and ourselves build wealth for the future. And it's not necessarily a long checklist, but yeah, it's not the type of thing that needs to go on Santa's list. It's the kind of thing that you need to book 30 minutes on your calendar and take care of.
That's right. Do not leave this for an imaginary man to get done.
Whoa. There might be kids in the car.
Let's get into it.
But first, here's something you can add to your money checklist, Sammy. Take a look at all of your canceled flights or delayed flights this year and go to our partner, AirHelp, to see if there is any compensation that could be coming your way. AirHelp is our partner for this episode. We love AirHelp because one of the most annoying things I have to deal with is when my flight is canceled or my flight is delayed. And then I have to go call the airlines, call the bank, call all these people to try to see if I can get my money back, if I can get some compensation, if they know where the heck my luggage is. No. AirHelp will save you time. You give them your flight information. They go, they fight the good fight for you. And you can actually see for this past year, for the past 3 years, if you had a situation with an airlines, they will go look at the air passenger rights and see if they can get you something. And they only charge you if they're actually able to compensate you. So it's only $24.99 if you actually get something back. So bookmark the link in our show notes and get that done.
Back to today's topic, your year-end finance checklist. Michelle and I know how important it is to get these things done at the end of the year. There are little things in different categories that can really help you save money for the future or help you optimize your money. And at the end of the year, there's just a lot to do. So we figured we'll put it in a step-by-step guide that can help you get all these things done and make sure you're set for 2024.
That's the plan, Sammy. And we put together this list of the top five things that you can do. We actually cross-listed with a few other lists online to see what type of things that they were suggesting. And a piece that we really enjoyed actually came from Vanguard. Top six tips, your year-end financial checklist. And we loved it because they really go into the details of what to consider for things like your tax advantage savings account. So we'll be weaving in some of their ideas as well, and we'll link it to our show notes, including our other favorite financial checklist, because once you get going, you might get excited and decide you want to chop off some bigger pieces of this pie.
First thing on our list, and it was also the first thing on the Vanguard list, that is max out your tax-advantaged accounts.
Tax advantage accounts. That includes your 401k, your Roth IRA.
Your 457 account.
Exactly. And the reason that it's important to max out your tax advantage accounts by the end of the year It's twofold. One, if you have enough money to do so, it is a small thing you can do now that will pay off dividends in the future when you are retired or when you take time off work, when you need to draw money out of these accounts. This always blows my mind because when I first started working at my first full-time job, my mom bugged me for like 6 months to set up my 401k. And I was like, fine, I'll set it up. And then maybe a year or two in, Sammy read Robin Sethi's book, I Will Teach You to Get Rich. And she told me, you need to max out your 401k. And at that point, I had ramped up at work. I had enough money. So I started to just put that money aside. They literally take the money out of my paycheck before I even receive it, before it's even taxed. So I don't even think about the fact that I need to do anything with that money. Fast forward, I leave the company 5 years later. Fast forward to today, which is about 8 years later. That money was stored in my 401k. It was invested. It has been growing ever since. This decision that I made, this small decision to max out my retirement account, has made it so that even though I'm not working right now, I have money that's compounding that I can use when I'm in my 60s. That's absolutely bonkers to me. And so at the end of the year, this is your last opportunity to contribute to your 401k. Look, see how much you contributed, see if you want to add more, see if you can add more, see if you have a bonus coming up. That money will be there for you when you need to retire. And while the market grows, it will grow with it.
It's so funny that you mentioned that, Michelle, because I remember reading Ramit Sethi's book, I Will Teach You to Be Rich, years ago, like 8 years, you said? It's been a long time. It was before, way before I was ever into financial independence. And one of my coworkers had actually already read that book as well. So we started this thing, not deliberately, but where we would all check with each other to see if we had each maxed out our 401k. As soon as there was a new employee, a lot of us were new grads coming out of PA school or shortly after PA school. And we would ask them, are you maxing out your 401k? We would ask them why they're not, if they're not doing it. And it became this thing where we all maxed out our 401ks. And I think about that now, and now, you know, it's 8 years later. In the future, we're all going to be millionaires from the decision that we made collectively, essentially, to max out our 401ks and make it kind of a game with each other. And it can seem like a lot of money, but especially if you have a high income, it can bring down your taxes. So some of it can balance out. And, you know, if you can't do it right now, you can't. But if you can, it's an awesome way to save for your future.
Exactly, Sammy. And if you can't max it out, or even if you can max it out, at the least, if your employer matches, try to hit that match number. Sammy, I pulled up my 401k from my first job. I was there for 5 years. I always hit my match. And now 20% of my 401k for that company is money that the company had matched me. 20%.
Free money. She never had to work for that money. It just popped up.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to work for it. You know, there's no such thing as a free lunch.
There's no such thing as a free lunch, blah, blah, blah.
I had to stay there for 4 years, blah, blah, blah.
It was free money that sometimes you leave on the table if you don't know about the match.
Mm-hmm. If anything, it's not free money. I was working there. It was a benefit that the company gave me, and I'm happy I took advantage of it.
Yes. Think of it as part of your income that you're not getting.
Mm-hmm.
And another important thing is, since some of these tax-advantaged accounts are pre-tax, like the 401k, like the 457, at my last job, I had both a 457 and a 401k, and I would max them both out, that can lower your adjusted gross income on your taxes. So then when you're filing your taxes, you lower the amount of money that it seems like you're making because you've deferred that money for later, essentially. And this can be really helpful with things like calculating your student loan payments. You know, if you're on public service loan forgiveness and you just have to do the time, then you don't want to have an unnecessarily high income show up on your W-2 when you can lower it with tax-advantaged accounts. There's also multiple different tax breaks or programs that have certain income levels. So lowering your income by $20,000 or, you know, almost $40,000 in my case, since I have both the 401k and the 457, that can really make a big difference in whatever programs, tax credits, benefits that you can qualify for.
Tax advantage accounts are great for so many different reasons, and being able to take advantage of them to the best of your ability pays off in numerous ways. So when you're thinking about your money checklist for the end of the year, look at your tax advantage accounts, look at the max amount that you can contribute, see how much you have contributed up until this moment, and take a look and see if there's more that you can give. If you can push a little bit more, if you can contribute a little bit more, it will compound over the years and pay off in a big way when you retire.
Exactly. And if you notice that, hey, that's going to be my whole paycheck for December and I can't afford to do that, maybe next year set it up so that each paycheck you take out a higher amount so that you're not having to rush at the end of the year to take out a giant chunk.
That's a great suggestion, Sammy. The money checklist is not just about closing out things for this year. It's also about seeing what you can do better next year.
And for those people who qualify for a backdoor Roth, those are people who can't just straight contribute to a Roth IRA because of income limits. You may have to do the conversion from the traditional IRA to the regular Roth IRA before the end of the year. Since that doesn't apply to everybody, I'll link to a great article from White Coat Investor in the show notes. Every year that I have to do it, I always go back to this same article and they really describe well how to do the backdoor Roth conversion. So you can check it out there if it applies to you.
So number two on our money checklist, it has to do with healthcare. There are a couple of things we think you should think about when it comes to evaluating your healthcare for the year.
One, if you are using a government plan, sign up for healthcare.
Yeah, actually, if you don't have healthcare, sign up for healthcare. This is the time to do it. Also, be careful. This comes out November 26th. Open enrollment is ending soon, so double check to see if you can sign up for healthcare.
If you work at a company and it's time for you to sign up for healthcare, just make sure you don't forget to do that because that's important.
Yes, and part of that too is possibly signing up for a new plan. Evaluate, did your plan work for you this year? Are there any things that you want to change? And the end of the year is not only the time to make changes, it's one of the only times you're allowed to make a change without a major life event.
Speaking of benefits that you want to utilize, you got vision insurance, you got dental insurance, you got health insurance. Did you actually make all those appointments? Now is the time to check and try to get those new glasses and get your teeth cleaned so you can utilize that before the end of the year is done.
Exactly. Make those appointments. You are paying for health insurance. And I've made this mistake before. I went 5 years paying for dental and didn't go to the dentist once. I know. You guys are shocked. I have a smile made for podcast. I have perfect teeth. I have beautiful, healthy, never had a cavity in my life teeth.
Thanks to fluorinated water. Detroit, Michigan.
But my teeth still got nasty with that plaque and I should have gone to the dentist because I was paying for it anyway. So vision, dental, get your physical in, whatever you need to. Like, again, you are probably paying for these things anyway. So take advantage of them before the year ends.
Another thing, if you've met your deductible, then make sure you use as much of your healthcare as you can before December. You paid that deductible, next year it's going to start all over again. Maybe it's prescriptions or appointments. Whatever you can do this year so you don't have to restart that on your deductible next year could be really helpful to you.
Maybe you want to have your baby December 31st instead of January 1st. These are the things to think about.
If you don't live in the United States, you're like, what the heck are these people talking about? Yes, healthcare is very expensive here in the United States, and we do time things that we do so that we get it all done. Like, I'm not going to lie, when I have my thyroid surgery, I'm like, I'm starting this investigation January 1st so we can get this surgery done ASAP, and I can meet my deductible early and use my insurance after that.
Exactly, Sammy. And it's also, once again, a good time to evaluate, where you want a high deductible plan? Would a low deductible have made more sense? Would a low deductible plan and a high deductible would have made more sense? I had to test out both to see what worked best. And again, this is the only time to make those changes.
Three, related to healthcare, but we grouped it separately because it's its own special thing. And that's your FSA account, not to be confused with your HSA account. This is money that you put aside tax-free that can be used on healthcare costs. The HSA does not expire. You can keep that money for when you're older to use on medical expenses then. But the FSA expires every single year. So you definitely want to use your FSA money before December 31st.
The flexible savings account.
Turns out flexible is a little bit of an exaggeration.
Flexible in what way? I would love to know. One year, I rationalized that I should get a low deductible account and a flexible savings account. I don't even know why. Honestly, I just didn't know a lot about health insurance, and I was asking a lot of questions, and I wanted to experiment with something different. Bad idea. Switch back to high deductible. I love it. But that year, I had an FSA. I didn't even go to the doctor that year. I didn't spend a dime of my FSA. That was my money, and I lost it. So don't be like me. Spend your FSA money. It will expire. Some places will extend it to March or April. So it's also just worth it to see, like, do I have a few more months? Or I need to get those new glasses now because that baby is expiring.
And let me tell you why the FSA account is flexible. It's not because of the timeline. Once again, expires December 31st. But it is because you can use your FSA on a lot of things, which is what I did. I went to the FSA website, and last year I got myself quite a bit of stuff. You can get tampons. You can get pads. That's right. Feminine hygiene products. Sunscreen. And if you got plugged sinuses, you can even get a Navage. What's a Navage, you ask?
Nobody asked.
You may be familiar with the neti pot, which is a little sinus rinse that you can put through your nose and it cleans out your nose. And it's a little bit manual. Well, the Navage is the automated version of that, where pretty much it blasts water up one nostril and sucks it out the other. It's crazy. It's nasty. But let me tell you, you feel good afterwards. And if you're using it regularly, you feel really good. But it's not cheap, and neither are the saline pods that go into the Navage. So I used my FSA account to buy myself a Navage and the pods.
What are the chances we can get Navage to sponsor the podcast? Yes, use your FSA money if you have it. So many places take FSA now. CVS, the convenience store, Sephora. If you want to buy skincare products,
go ham.
Yeah, Sephora. I saw on their website. I haven't done it myself, but get that FSA money.
Yes, for skincare. You probably can't buy Fenty foundation, you know, and use your FSA for that.
I think there's a Fenty skin line.
This is important for my mental health. Okay.
You're not wrong. So number four on our list is to make sure you have everything tied up for your student loans.
This is one thing in particular. And that is, if you have student loans, and especially if you plan on doing forgiveness in some manner, either public service loan forgiveness or general forgiveness, the 20-year forgiveness, you may benefit from consolidating your loans, and it has to be done by December 31st. This applies to people like me who need to do this. This is important for me because I worked as an assistant in 2012, and now those months can actually apply to my entire loan, but only if the loans are consolidated. And after December 31st, you can no longer consolidate your loans. I just want to be super clear. This is not the same as refinancing your loans. This does not mean you go to a private company and put all your loans together. No, this is keeping your loans with your loan servicer through the government and bringing all those loans together so that your PSLF qualifying payments will apply to all your loans.
And number five on our list? 'Tis the season to start thinking about your charitable donations.
You know, we all think about giving all year round. Just kidding. I forget. Honestly, I forget. And I think to myself, oh my gosh, I should be giving money to people, to charities, etc.
Hey, I just want to say that's not true. Sammy is very giving. In fact, we were at Walmart the other day getting gas.
Walmart's a great place for giving.
Walmart is a great place for giving. Yeah, especially if you run into Sammy and you ask her to fill your gas tank. God bless. But unfortunately, those are not 501c contributions. This specifically is talking about donations to 501c nonprofits. Anything that you donate before the end of the year, those are things that can apply to your tax write-offs next year. So it's time, if it's something that you're interested in, to make sure you get those donations out, so that they can count towards your donations for when you do your taxes.
I know for me, I used to love to donate to the Domestic Violence Center in San Jose. Now that we don't live there, I need to find one locally. And I love to donate to NPR because you know I love podcasts and I'm like, I gotta give back.
Yeah, I make sure that I donate to Cornell University every year. I know.
They need the money so bad.
But because I do it every year before the end of the year. They put me on their 1865 club. Really, I get nothing but maybe sometimes some background screensavers. But I used to work for their annual fund, so I do like to donate every year.
Not pretentious at all.
We all like to give. Sammy and I are both such giving people.
We just
equally.
Love to help.
We just
love.
Takeaways.
Takeaways for this episode. 1. Contribute to your tax advantage accounts. 2. Sign up for healthcare if you need to. And make those appointments. Medical, dental, vision. Get it done. 3. Spend your FSA money. If you have FSA money, not HSA, different. If you have FSA money, spend it.
It's use it or lose it. Or check to see if you do have a grace period to spend it until March or April. I had companies that did that in the past.
You know what's a great stocking stuffer? Sunscreen.
You know, you might be thinking to yourself, I have a podcast that I love and I want to give them a gift. And what says I love you and your podcast more than a saline pod?
A box of tampons.
Or consolidate your student loans if necessary. Also, just with student loans in general, so much has changed. Check our episode out on the topic. We'll link it in our show notes because there's a lot of things you just want to make sure everything's tied up by the end of the year. 5. Tis the season of giving to a 501c. Complete any nonprofit donations. Get it in before the end of the year, both because you want to give and for those tax write-offs.
Community time.
Before we say goodbye, it's our community time.
As you guys may know, this past week was my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you, Michelle. I am now 34 years old, which makes me feel like solidly in my 30s. You know, like I'm not like almost 20, I'm like 30, which I personally like. It gives you a sense of credibility.
It does give you a sense of credibility. Nothing says I'm a beautiful, young, but intelligent person like being 34.
Yes, we were making friends with a lot of 20-year-olds, which we love, but we are now telling people our age so that we can make sure we find people our age as well.
I like to open with it. You know, hi, I'm Michelle. I'm 32.
Especially for Michelle. She looks like a 16-year-old.
I can't help it. I've been aging backwards since my sabbaticals.
No, she really has. And now I'm aging backwards too.
And now I have a gray because I'm doing all this freelance work probably.
Is it cheaper than Botox? Probably not. But it works.
Healthier.
Take a sabbatical. Reverse your aging.
We got to celebrate your birthday and Thanksgiving with our parents. Our mom and dad were in town, which was absolutely lovely. Our mom is going through this weird phase where she's starting to call sambar vegetable soup.
Sambar, if you're unaware, is kind of like a vegetable soup.
Yes.
Except it has spices in it and it...
Hella spices.
Yes. And a lot of unique vegetables, oftentimes drumsticks, which I love.
Lentils.
Lentils. And it's delicious.
And you eat it with rice or like an idli, or you usually eat it with something.
Yeah, usually eat it with something, like on top of it.
You know, she's been bringing it to her coworkers, so I think she's been rebranding it. But she's like, this is vegetable soup. And I'm like, you don't have to call it vegetable soup with us. You can just say it's sambar. We know it's sambar.
You really don't have to call it vegetable soup with anybody. She works in San Francisco. It's pretty diverse.
Yeah. I mean, people learn.
They probably know sambar better than her.
Yeah. And also, if you think you're getting vegetable soup and you're eating sambar, especially her sambar, where she chopped a whole freaking jalapeno into it, I think it'd be a rude awakening.
And I was like, why are you calling it vegetable soup instead of sambar? And she's like, well, because there's chicken in it. I'm like, so vegetable soup is not really an apt name either.
Well, then it's neither vegetable soup or sambar. She just had chicken left over and made chicken soup and then just combined them. It was a whole thing.
It's more like spicy chicken noodle soup. And by spicy, we mean extremely spicy.
Yeah, it's like sambar with chicken inside of it. There were no noodles. And also, Sammy was like, it's like nothing like sambar. It's just, this one's actually vegetable soup. And Sammy was like, well, did you put like the sambar spices in it? Like the sambar packet? And she was like, yeah, I did.
Yes. So I feel like once you put the sambar packet, even if it's just water, it's sambar.
Amen. Literally. Honestly, yes. Anyway, let us know what you guys think about our episode, Money Checklist. What's on your money checklist? What did we forget? We're going to link to the Vanguard one that we were reading. But honestly, there was some really great advice. If you want to get into the nitty gritty of all of this, there is so much you can do now to prepare yourself to tie up 2023 and prepare yourself for 2024. And you know your girls here. We love building a strong financial foundation. So if you have any questions or you want to let us know your suggestions, buildwealthyspirit.com. You can leave us your comments.
But most importantly, be sure to join us next time as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.